Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world.
Today is a highly requested topic, boundaries. Boundaries around relationships, around work, and especially around spiritual stuff. And what you will already see very clearly, probably in your environment, is that people who are more spiritual, who are, let's say, more sensitive to energy, compassionate, empathetic, usually don't have the strongest boundaries and can really benefit from making them stronger. So our relationships are karmic, and our boundaries really show where maybe we need to change and heal. Doesn't always mean stronger boundaries, can in some cases mean letting people in a little bit more, but we really need to identify the relationships that need to shift in order for us to feel more whole, whatever that means. And it can be a relationship that needs to shift with a person or work, or it can be with food or alcohol or with money. And a fact of life is that energy changes. We change, we're supposed to. So relationships are 100% of the time subject to change. And this can really be hard. And our relationships are really where our karma shows up. So the things that we needed to come into this life to experience and struggle with and overcome, they are going to show up strongest in our relationships, whether it is with a certain thing or substance or with certain people within your family, your blood relatives, and your non-blood family. So looking in people's energy fields, it's really common to have weak boundaries or not have boundaries at all, or have openings in the barrier around our energy field. And the thing about this is that even though it is really common, it's not normal and it's not the healthiest thing, because this is really where attachments come in from us to other people and vice versa, but also with spirits. So we want to get very real about where we are leaking energy in our life, what is siphoning off energy in our life, and at the same time, where are we maybe siphoning off energy from others or other things that are not source, where we need to really get our infinite life force supply from, and then have that flow through our emotional, mental, physical, energetic bodies, but in a way that is contained, and we're in that infinite figure eight loop and not leaking energy all over the place because of a lack of boundaries with certain things and people. Now, when we are siphoning off others' energy both ways, it can also mean that you're in a trauma bond or someone's in a trauma bond with you and you are on a healing journey and maybe you are trying to get out of that bond. What is really key, what I see a lot in people who are more spiritually, energetically conscious or on a spiritual path, is trying to please and change and overly help others, which is not always the best thing. And we see that especially with women due to this ancestral martyrdom complex that's been going on for thousands of years. Trying to overly fix and help other people, first of all, is not healthy for us, but it also leaves you open to abuse. But at the same time, and this is really what I feel is the most empowering perspective, it's not really respecting the other person's free will choices either. And that insight can just set you free in itself. We come into this life with free will. Yes, we can have and use this amazing opportunity in life to overcome karma and break free from those karmic vicious cycles and patterns. But at the same time, we have free will. And other people have free will too, and they don't always choose the things that we like, right? And when people are being straight up abusive, know that they are not bad because they are choosing to be. They are in a trauma response. And yes, they may choose that sometimes on a more conscious level than it being a subconscious response. But ultimately, you are responsible for who you let into your life, into your energy, and you're not responsible for healing everyone, even and especially if you work as a healer in whatever capacity. So here are a few steps that were really helpful to me and are. So the first one is getting very real about if you are respecting the other person or trying to change or fix them. Be really honest with yourself. And if you are thinking of a relationship that's really not serving you, maybe with food, for example, also be honest if you are trying to get something from that food or that thing that it is not giving to you. Just an objective, non-judgmental observation. Just bring in awareness. Now, next, you want to really decide about that thing and if it is something that you want to allow in. So it could be an obviously abusive or toxic partner or ex-partner or friendship. And it could also be, again, a food. Is this something that you need in your life, or is it something that you can allow to cut out or at least temporarily practice a very, very strong boundary? So judge only on people's behavior, not the things that they tell you or that they are going to do, and only judge them by what they are doing now. So not on what they say and not on what their potential is, the potential that you see in them. That is really, really important. Judge on the actions, the energy that people are putting out with what they're doing. Because most of us, we want to be something beyond what we are currently just capable of. And it requires a real sovereign relationship to yourself and a real free will to want to break free and heal. No one else can do that for us. We cannot do that for other people. Now, start to look at the vibration of the energy exchange. Take your emotions out of it and just look at the frequency of it. And judge. Judging, by the way, there are two ways that we can look at judgment. One is just straight up assessing if something is healthy for us or not. And then there is the other type of judgment that is more like judging people's life choices, thinking that we know better, talking about other people behind their back, for example. Know that when people do this type of judging, that's not an absolute necessity. It's really a sign of, let's say, a lack of sovereignty, a lack of maturity emotionally. And they are trying to fill some kind of validation within themselves that they need. And also know that if people are doing this about other people, they're doing it about you too. So look at the frequency of the energy exchange. So is this something or someone that you feel like you need to have in your life for whatever reason? Could be that this is the father of your children. It could be that it is food and you need to eat to survive. So you need to change something in that relationship to make it work. Now, in some cases, we have the luxury to say, you know what, I'm just not going to drink at all. Or this so-called friend is actually really abusive and toxic to me, so I'm just going to choose to break that off. If you need to have an ongoing relationship, really make a decision about how often you want to see them or talk to them and how long. Also, what topics are off limits for you? Maybe someone just hates anything spiritual, has religious trauma, is very atheist, and just takes every opportunity to kind of bash the things that you are into. For me, I have a strong boundary around I don't discuss my work with certain people. And this is not even the work that I do now, but when I worked in the art world, because I got very tired of getting unsolicited advice about my work. And with what I do now with other people, I have certain boundaries around talking about it because I don't want to be, let's say, working or being treated as kind of the oracle when I'm trying to relax with friends or family. So make very clear decisions for yourself about these boundaries that you get to have. Now, what I really notice with my work, for example, is that people will often, when they learn about what I do, take it as an opportunity to tell me their full life's experience, but also take their emotion into everything. Because I do healing work, they think that I do their healing work, right? And ultimately, it really comes down to having compassion and understanding for someone maybe needing validation of their experience, and also me having been in a place where I also was really fresh to just releasing lots of trauma, processing it, talking about it more. At some point, you kind of outgrow and get past that. You're just on a different frequency because you've released that lower energy. But when people do that to me, it's not always healthy for me. And especially when it comes into my work in things around scheduling, or like, let's say, more masculine structure, that is where I do not bring any emotion in, because those are really like the foundational masculine structures that allow me to do what I do, and where I am equal to everyone. And I basically just have rules and boundaries that, yes, can shift over time, but I don't take my or someone else's emotional circumstances into every decision I make, because I need that framework to be very strong in order for me to be receptive and energetic and emotional just inherently in my work within that. Now, if you already feel like a relationship might end because you're hitting some boundary and maybe you're really scared of their reaction, I've been there. Just be honest with yourself about being scared. First of all, that's a completely valid emotion. And especially if you have had like a history of letting people walk all over you, it's really scary at first to start to stand up for yourself. And I remember actually a specific situation where I had to kind of repeat almost like the words in my head of what I wanted to say, because I knew that in the moment I would be so ungrounded and scared that I basically would not able to say what I wanted to say. So I had to rehearse it for myself almost. And that's okay. If that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. And over time, you become more natural at, first of all, sensing your boundaries and then acting on them in a respectful way to yourself and to other people on the spot, like in the moment. That's really something that you can learn. So if other people are disappointed, it can be that maybe you are taking away something that's supplying energy to them. Maybe this person is very much used to be you being like prepared and ready and responsive for them, and you've kind of stopped enabling that. Now, know that you did them a favor by taking away that supply of energy that they need to start finding within themselves. You don't lose anything. And by maybe being abusive or, you know, giving you the reaction that's really a confirmation of what was wrong in the first place, if they're not treating you right, they did you a favor, because now you get to have a new phase of life without that massive energy drain. So if you're grieving, try to focus on two things: just what they gave you, what you can be grateful for, and the things that you've given them. You cannot force forgiveness, but you can definitely see value in any relationship, because again, if it's highly karmic, like very charged, there will always be a lesson. And just by virtue of you doing this, working on your boundaries, you are gonna become more whole. Even if it's a very imperfect, messy, ugly process in the beginning, you are already gonna start to feel more whole, and you're gonna flourish and thrive in different ways. That'll help you automatically, just by virtue of you choosing to be on a different energy level. You're going to magnetize and attract different people, the right people, in unexpected places. Then you can really start to like have relationships and energy exchanges, or maybe like with different foods, right? Without it being siphoned off or leaking. And also, you're going to notice that over time, people will actually start to respect you more for it. And you may inspire people in ways that you don't know. Also, remember that if this entails like a break in a relationship, doesn't mean that it's a definitive break. With family, for example, I've had times where I wasn't in contact with certain family members. And sometimes that can also give someone else the space to reflect and they can change. But count on people not changing and on not hearing the things that you feel like you need to hear from them. Know that people don't owe us anything, even our parents, and you're allowed to draw your own conclusions and boundaries for your own well-being. So, so important. So when people don't support you or they're abusive, it's not about you. It's about a trigger of their own unhealed trauma. Because ultimately, you know, they are just creating more and more karma by being abusive or crossing other people's boundaries. And even if they're not aware, they're just making that karma bigger for themselves, which is not ideal for them. So people don't really choose to do that. And when you make a sovereign decision for yourself in your boundaries and your relationships, it's also a sovereign decision for the other person. You can inspire, even if you don't, you change the dynamics, you stop enabling them. Sometimes it takes a break to realign over time. And it's all about coming into your own sovereignty and respecting that in other people and their choices. Now, if you are on, let's say, a spiritual path, I often have students and apprentices who come with me with these issues where they feel awkward or scared to even explain what they're doing or their shamanic practice or whatever it may be. And this is tricky because, of course, you want people to accept you. Ideally, you have the same interests, which can also be tricky too, in my experience. But there's really a difference in wanting to share what you're doing and what you're passionate about with those that you love and looking for validation from them. If you decide that you want to maybe commit to a certain path or your interests are changing and evolving into areas that other people in your environment are just not into or reject or think is crazy or stupid or whatever, make a decision for yourself that you don't need other people's validation for the things that you love, and you don't need to share their interests either, right? Lots of our friends are into things or have jobs that we are like, you know, it exists, but I don't feel the need to know all the details. And that is totally fine. It's not a realistic expectation to have of people to share all of our loves and passions. So around certain people, maybe keep it more superficial and focus on the things that you do have in common. And when you talk about your work, maybe say, you know, that it's more of like a type of meditation or things that people understand rather than like removing demonic entities or whatever. Now, if you have people who are like aggressively anti anything spiritual, remember that it's not about you. They probably have religious trauma. You can share all the science backing up psychic abilities and journeying, but they're not going to hear you if they're not open to that. So my advice would be to leave it. And again, focus on the things that you love about those people and your shared interests. Now, there are other people like your Uber driver, taxi driver, for example, who may provide a really good opportunity to practice explaining in more detail what you do if you want to get more comfortable with that. And if I am in a situation where I just don't feel like explaining what I do, you can also just say that you're like in accounting or a dentist or something like that. Now, I come from a very science-heavy family, but I was already a Buddhist, like a pretty active daily practicing Buddhist for over 12 years already. I converted to Buddhism when I was 20. So I already had some practice kind of explaining my spiritual interests, right? But when I was really struggling with my own illness, I made a big switch and I had to go all in just because of my life was happening that way. I moved to a completely different continent, different time zone, different climate. That made things in some ways harder, but in some ways also easier for me to make a full shift. And, you know, especially if you're on social media like me, all your old colleagues, your uncles, friend, your exes, whatever, they all, because of the algorithm works, they're all going to see probably what you do. Now, first of all, not everyone cares, right? People are always most concerned with what's going on in their own life. And it's not as big a deal to them as it is to you, what you're doing. Even though everyone may have an opinion and maybe a negative opinion, there are also people who are really happy for you and really excited about what you do, and to who it's also very natural, like common sense. And my advice would be, don't go into justifying yourself. You do not need validation. But what could be going on is that you have soul fragmentation around your own sense of worthiness, not feeling seen, not feeling heard or respected. And that is something that we need to heal at the core. And once you do, you are going to feel inherently whole, and you're not going to feel this sort of lack and a need for validation from other places, because you already inherently have that inside of yourself. Now, when it comes to envy, I've been getting questions more lately about envy, like how to deal with competition and jealousy. There is a specific spirit actually that rules jealousy, and that's Leviathan and also Thoth. These may be attachments that you can remove from your life. You can do that in journeying. You can also do that in prayer. And there are specific archangels that govern this energy in, let's say, the positive. Those are Uriel and Raphael. So if you have a lot of light in you, like most people I work with, it can trigger people who are feeling very bad about themselves and their own shadow parts. And know to them, just your presence can hurt, you know? And if people are competing with you or envious of you, you know, I was in this weird transition in my life around 9 years ago, where I went from being chronically ill, not graduated, not having a place to live even, like not having anything, to literally within a period of 3 or 4 weeks, having met the love of my life, moving in together, getting my driver's license, getting this incredible job offer, and my master thesis got published as a book. So I changed very fast. All of these things started to just manifest in my life. And my friends saw me change very quickly as well. I didn't change as a person, but other people were giving me this energy of like, why is this all happening for her? Because she is this and that. Maybe they felt like, you know, she's a mess, or she's sick or whatever. I got, now looking back, like straight up rude and very hurtful comments. And there was this overall atmosphere immediately where I was never asked about, you know, the things that were going on in my life, or let alone celebrated, and I couldn't talk or share about it. And everything would be very much focusing on or like making fun of the things that were like trauma and pain points and like hurtful things for me. And absolutely not from everyone, just a specific kind of group of friends. And the thing is that I could feel it more and more, but it took me a very long time to admit even to myself that there may be this kind of reaction, because I myself had so much unhealed trauma and like literal soul fragmentation and felt so unworthy on some level that I too maybe felt like I wasn't deserving. So now if I would get comments like that, I would very comfortably, like naturally respond like on the spot in a moment in a way where I could put up a boundary. But in that moment, I was very much caught up in all of these, first of all, relationships that apparently were, you know, not unconditional, but conditioned upon me being a mess, maybe. But also within myself, because we only attract these situations in order for us to realize that we are so much more, and that we can choose to not be in that state, not in those relationships, but not in that fragmented, unworthy state within ourselves that allows for attachments, illness, more karma that we don't want, right? So if you feel deeply misunderstood or like an outcast because of who you are or what you do, you need to heal that in yourself at the root. And this is ultimately to meet what journeying is for, soul retrieval. And once you are completely whole and confident and okay with who you are and what you are into and what you are doing, you are going to very quickly start to attract people who you don't even need to explain anything to and who you probably won't even spend time talking about this with because it's so natural and there will likely be other things that you are excited and talking and sharing about. So one thing I notice a lot is the language that people use to talk about their spiritual work or interests, using words like woo-woo or airy-fairy or quote-unquote spiritual stuff to describe what you do and what you value and what you're passionate about, what makes you happy. Ask yourself, why are you diminishing yourself? Why are you making yourself smaller? What part of you actually believes that what you're doing or who you are on a soul level is not worthy of being taken seriously and being really valued and respected for who you are and everything that comes with that? And why are you setting other people up to do the same? I have a lot of scientists in my circle. They don't describe what they do as being dorky or nerdy stuff or just number stuff. And this comes, of course, for a large part from growing up in a society that doesn't support our relationship with spirit and coming into wholeness in that relationship. And this is where we need to really become aware and overcompensate and buck the system that has conditioned us to feel this way really about ourselves and the source that we come from. That's ultimately what it's all about. So small things like the words that you use really show where you can really benefit from soul retrieval. And that will make you inherently feel more whole and sovereign. We are on a source level always already whole, but we are integrating soul fragments that split due to trauma that really condition us to the core about who we think we are and our value and our worth. And there is a way where you can come through soul retrieval, through journeying, into that place of wholeness where you feel completely calm and untriggered in standing for what you stand for and not worrying about what other people think about it so much, and rather sharing from a place of inspiration instead of looking for validation, because there's a big, big difference. And when we can just stand for what we believe in, what excites us, makes us happy, and what we feel is important, you start to magnetize automatically, inherently from that space without trying, the people who are on that same frequency. And it is such a relief and so nourishing and so healing in itself to magnetize those people that completely get it, and you don't have to feel self-conscious or explain anything in the first place. And this is what automatically starts to happen once we become more aware for yourself and allow yourself to admit and acknowledge that oneness in your relationship with other people and the things that are maybe not healthy for us, where we need a boundary, because that perspective is just going to really accelerate your healing. And if you're ready to learn how to heal, how to do this for yourself, not just restore your boundaries, but do soul retrieval and do it in a community of like-minded people who get it, who also feel like all of this is completely natural, who have really gone through similar experiences, just being in a group of like-minded humans, I cannot even tell you the relief that brings, and also how nourishing that is to activating your own healing abilities. And for this, I highly recommend joining the Way Circle. This is my year-round shamanic journeying space where I teach shamanic journeying, and we have an amazing group of just the most beautiful, magical humans who are all on the same path, on the same journey, and we get together and journey together. You can find all the information on my website under the Shamanic Academy, under the Way Circle. And I also offer a mentorship program where you get everything that's included in the Way Circle, but also one-on-one coaching and journeys with me. I hope that this episode was helpful to you, and I can't wait to see you in the next one.